David Hawkins is editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call and author of Hawkins Here blog and column. He's covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. David Hawkins, welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
So let's start talking about the alliance between McConnell, Ryan, and Trump. In the beginning, we had the feeling that these regular Republicans weren't all that happy with Trump. They're all making up.
They're all agreeing to lead separate lives in this marriage, I think, at the moment. I mean, I think they're agreeing to get along for as long as they possibly can. Obviously, Paul Ryan is the most distinguished person or the most important person to talk about here, because he was the one who kind of went out of his way to distance himself from Trump. But now he seems to be going out of his way to not criticize Trump. One obvious reason for this is that the Republicans have been waiting 10 years to have a unified government, to have control of both the legislative and executive branches, and they want the power and they want to exercise the power. And so they are going to, and they are assuming, they are betting that once all this period where executive orders are getting all the headlines is over, there'll be plenty left for them to do, and that Donald Trump won't care about a lot of the details, and will let, and Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and their buddies will be able to do what they want to do.
Well, now, you know, let me take a small example which may be of interest to our listeners, and that is that public radio stations around the country were told that Breitbart and others had started a movement to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or to privatize it, which we didn't quite understand what was. And then we started hearing from individual congressmen who were being quoted by, you know, some of the NPR people and others as saying, not on my watch, it's not going to happen. That would show some dissonance between the Breitbart, Bannon, maybe Trump people and some of the individual congressmen. What do you got to say about that one?
In general, there is still a division within the Republican Party. And I sort of see at the moment that there being four different Republican parties. There's the Trump, there's the Mitch McConnell Republican Party, in the, which is pretty unified in the Senate. And then there are two Republican parties in the House. There is the Paul Ryan mainstream crowd, and there is the Freedom Caucus conservative, super conservative, culture warrior, burn the place down crowd. Those are the ones that are of the four. I would say it's that fourth group that would be the most interested in doing things like taking all the money away from public radio and public broadcasting and sort of revisiting a lot of those small government crusades that were a big deal about 10 years ago, but it sort of faded from now. I don't think Donald Trump wants to get in those fights myself, but maybe I'm wrong.
The McConnell people in the Senate, they've been around for a while. We've watched that. But Ryan has to be on some tenterhooks because of what you just said about the four different Republican parties. One got the feeling he didn't want to be the speaker. He did it under protest. He wants to be president. What's your assessment?
I think that's exactly right. I think that he is on tenterhooks. I think that he is wanting now to look like a team player to fellow Republicans for as long as he possibly can. He is obviously making a pretty big gamble that in the fullness of time, the Republican Party won't turn on Donald Trump, that being a Donald Trump, if not acolyte, then at least acquiescent in Donald Trump, will work for him over time. I think that's a high risk, but that's sort of the only viable hand he was dealt. It would have been pretty politically suicidal of him to ask to be returned as the House Speaker. And he was in the end returned as House Speaker with very, very little dissent. There was likely going to be a fight against him had Hillary Clinton won. There would have been some of these super conservative, confrontational conservatives would have taken him on, but once Trump won, and once Trump sort of signaled that he was willing to work with Ryan, and once Ryan signaled he was willing to work with him, once Kevin McCarthy, who's a name we haven't mentioned in a while, was the guy who was going to be Speaker a year ago when Boehner got pushed out and ended up not taking the job, he's now serving as sort of a broker between Ryan and Trump. Anyway, it seems as though Ryan has now made this bed and has decided that he is going to, his path, his long-term play is to be seen as giving Trump every available benefit of the doubt, and hope that in return Trump allows him, Paul Ryan, to do some of the legislating and some of the policy making that he wants to do and that would be the basis for his eventually running for national office himself.
Interesting. Now, the Tea Party, which you referred to before as one of those four groups, are they in the ascendancy or the descendancy?
Well, they're sort of in the descendancy because Donald Trump is not a Tea Partier. I mean, Donald Trump is an insurgent outsider, but Donald Trump does not. Donald Trump is the, I would argue, is the most big government Republican who's been president since Dwight Eisenhower. I mean, Trump is his ideology and his philosophy are obviously extremely inconsistent and kind of all over the map. I mean, there's an economic populism aspect to it, but Donald Trump wants to spend money more than these Tea Partiers do. He believes in big government republicanism. He believes in public works. He believes in obviously the biggest public work of all being the wall, but beyond that, he believes in highway spending and infrastructure spending and federal money to rehabilitate hospitals and public schools and libraries. This is not the Tea Party way. So they seem at the moment to be a little bit marginalized and wondering what to do next.
And yet they all supported him.
Well, they all supported him. I mean, actually, they all didn't support him, whatever it was. What were the numbers in the end? There were 12 senators and 28 or 9 House members who said they wouldn't support him or were going to vote for somebody else. Generally, you're right. Most of the Tea Party types voted for Trump because they like that insurgent message. They like that outsider shake the place up message. And so they got with him on that score. But they do not like the Donald Trump who is, well, they don't like his anti-free trade position, and they certainly don't like his let's spend some money positions.
The future of the Affordable Care Act, will they come up with something?
Well, they haven't yet, you know. I mean, just in the last 24 hours, the timetable seems to have slipped pretty dramatically. I mean, it's gone from repeal and replace is going to be the first thing we do to Paul Ryan actually telling reporters we're going to try and get something done by the end of the year. That doesn't sound too optimistic for those who think it should be, if not totally repealed, then at least reconfigured. I mean, the headline here is that Republicans have always been eagerly ready, willing, and eager to vote many, many times to repeal the thing, or at least repeal parts of it, but they have never once come up with a consensus opinion about how to replace it. That has not changed. There don't seem to be any early signs that it's going to change. Some people are saying that when Tom Price, if and when, and it is going to be when, Tom Price, the congressman from Georgia, gets confirmed as health secretary, then the real negotiating will begin. So I guess that we should give them that amount of time.
David Hawkins is the editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call and author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995.